Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and I'm in the UK for the first time in 2.5 years. Yay. Sat opposite Pete Donaldson. In it.
Sorry, Chris, what was that? It makes you feel at home if I sort of slowly edge into the podcast. Because that's what it's like, because when we do a podcast, it's a little bit like that,
but in the same room,
it's so much easier.
It used to, when we started out, it was a little bit of lag.
A little bit stilted, yeah.
And you had
then
to
we
predict.
Figured it up, yeah, we figured it out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good to see you, though.
Chris, I'm surprised how emotional I am. I thought, ah, this little nerd's returning to London. I was like, I'll be fine with that. But then you turned up and I was like, oh, Chris, I've not seen you for such a long time in the flesh.
I got here early. I was waiting in the lobby for Pete. Yeah. I got a message like, oh, I've just turned up in my car. I went outside. Yeah. And there he was, getting out his, what is it, a Fiat?
Fiat 500, yeah.
And he saw me, and I swear to God, he cried his eyes out. He said,
"I can't believe you're here.
I can't believe I can't." Someone said you was dead. Was it Ian Wright said to that old man that time?
It was tears. It was laughter. And then there was poor quality coffee. I travelled 15 hours, 8,000 miles for a really dodgy coffee. It's not even hot. It tastes like it's come out of a bucket of something.
It's in a nice branded mug, though. The problem is, Chris, that I'm not the sort to be trusted with the coffee machine.
It's a Nespresso machine. A cat could operate a fucking Nespresso machine.
I got
machine.
The Nespresso bit right. It was the milk that troubled me, to be honest.
But, I mean, coffee's not great, but it's good to be back. It's been a really trippy sort of 4 or 5 days now.
So how long have you been in the country and how was the flight?
The flight wasn't too bad.
Right.
We've been saying for like a month that the flight's going to go like over Korea and China, Mongolia and Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and your mum. And it didn't go that way. We took off from Tokyo and we started flying over the sea, and I looked at the map and the flight route was like, you're going over Russia. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, this is a bit worrying. And I was like, are we going over like China and Mongolia? The woman was like, no. And she just sort of walked off.
Right.
Like, oh, this is very not good. What's going on? I think the pilot commandeered the flight, take us the wrong way. But it turns out we flew over the Pacific, North Pacific, Alaska, North Canada, Greenland,
literally the
absolute like North Pole. We went over it, and then Iceland, and then Scotland. And it was a really nice flight, minimal turbulence.
So you went east rather than west?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay. How long did that take? And then you landed in Frankfurt?
And then I landed in Belgium.
Right.
Of all places.
Interesting.
What annoyed me, right, there's no flights from ANA at the moment that go direct to London.
Yeah.
So I literally flew over London. I was like, it's there!
It's trying
to fly around!
Let me off.
And then landed at Belgium, sat there for a few hours, and then got a flight to London.
Very much when I used to go home from Newcastle, the train used to go right past my house in Holloway to King's Cross, and I had to get one stop back to where I was. So, I mean, I could see my house as I was coming in. Similar
you know
kind
how
of
I felt
vibe.
Then. You know
similar kind of vibe in many ways.
10 minutes on a train versus 15 hours on a plane. It was all right. You know, the trick is to get through a really long flight, don't look at the remaining time on the flight.
No, never.
So, as soon as we were up in there, I switched the screen off. Mm. I watched loads of films. I watched a film called, is it The Northman?
The Northman, right. Really good film with
The Northman. It's set in Iceland, and I flew over Iceland while I was watching it. I was like, this is like a 4D experience.
Right, okay.
And it was a really good flight, all in all. Good food.
Recommend it.
A bit pricey, though.
Yes.
ANA.
Yeah, only because you're buying in yen. And the yen's super rubbish now.
It was useless, worthless. they're more expensive than Japan Airlines and British Airways. Typically, I fly British Airways. They're cheap.
Right, yeah.
And But ANA probably the best one. So, yeah. But anyway, good to be here. The first thing I did when I, arrived was I got a Kinder Bueno. Like you did. I was like, I need something.
I think you could probably get a quick Kinder Bueno out there. Well, they're pretty transportable.
It's not the same. It had to be European Kinder Bueno.
So did you get that in Belgium or did you get that over in London as soon as you arrived?
I got that in Belgium airport, Brussels airport, and it got stuck. And I was like, not Japanese vending machines. I remember that they're shit. And I was there banging the vending machine, putting in extra money. I paid €5 for a Kinder Bueno. So, I felt like I'd been mugged the moment I set foot in Europe.
So how have you ingratiated? Have you got back into being in England? Have you kind of indulged in very English pursuits? Have you gone down the pub? Have you had a fist fight? Have you voted for Brexit?
I've been to a pub every day.
Right.
It's been really good weather.
Trying to catch up with people, I suppose. Really,
I've got a lot of 2 years to make up for.
Yeah.
Lots of gin and tonic. But I've had every quintessential British meal. So in the last 4 days,
fish
I'm like,
chips?
Day and I've got a schedule. I've got to have fry up at 9 a.m. I'm going to have roast dinner at 12. But I've had fish. I've had fish and chips twice.
Right. Okay.
I've had a Sunday roast once, and I've had about 4 fried breakfasts.
Well, to get yourself back into the groove, I noticed instead of a Nicorette patch, you're wearing a black pudding slice on each arm to get you back in. Because you can't just go from cold turkey having no fried breakfast to having fried breakfast every morning. You got to kind of
I dread to
ease
think
in.
What it's done to my body. But no, it's been really good few days.
Good.
And I've been spotted a few times. Of course, where do you think the first time I was spotted in the UK was?
In the nightclub Heaven.
Is that even open?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
there's loads of gigs on in there. Yeah.
Stack Night Out. No, it was, of course, it had to be bloody McDonald's.
McDonald's! Chrissy likes McDonald's! You got spotted in McDonald's!
Of all places.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure I went to one healthy place. Why couldn't I get spotted there?
What do you think fingers healthy?
Fret
Emoji.
Greg's. Sorry, vegan sausage rolls, isn't it? Vegan. Vegan, as Boris Johnson would say.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, someone spotted me there, a guy called Mark. Very nice man. He was very bewildered. I've been spotted a few times. And they're like,
supposed to be here.
Well, yeah, they're like, what the fuck are you doing here?
If you don't follow you on social, you just watch the YouTube, you don't listen to the podcast, you won't know that you're here.
Missing out big time if you're
missing out big time.
Mark, who I met at McDonald's, he knew everything. He'd be like, oh my god, I saw you on the Twitter post you did about the vending machine. I saw he's been following me up to the minute. But the guy I met out the road a minute ago just looked like I thought I'd done something wrong. He sort of looked at me and was like, are you? And I was like, oh my god, what have I done? Sorry, are you abroad in Japan? And I went, no, not right now. And I get to do that every
That's
day.
Such a great line. We're going to be doing the podcast show tomorrow. You will have been and gone by the time the show goes out, I reckon. But you'll be doing that joke about 3 or 4 times.
It's the only thing I can do, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Who needs originality?
So how does it feel? How's the jet lag? How are you kind of easing yourself into life? How are the folks? How's the family? Is everything all right?
Yeah, it's really, you just see everyone, it's like, oh, hello. It was very anticlimactic. I came out of Heathrow with my trolley and I was waiting for, I thought the masses would be cheering me there. There'd be a red carpet. Boris Johnson would be there with a sausage roll. Mm. And it was nothing.
No.
And not even my family turned up. It was just like, oh. And I walked over, I got a coffee, and then that was it. Very anticlimactic. Because it's good to see family. They're like, oh, right, Chris, how you doing?
Yeah. It doesn't take long, I find, because I get to see my parents maybe once or twice a year, even though they only live a little while away. And when I see them, it only takes 3 or 4 hours for it to slip into just get out of the way. You know, I'm just in people's way.
You're still here. You're still here, son.
Like, my dad wants to use his computer and I'm sleeping in the same bedroom and stuff. And he's like, can you just get up while I. He says, Dad, you're retired. You have no need to be on a computer. You're just going to send me some memes.
You only see them once or twice a year. And they're up the road. Yeah. What's your excuse?
No excuse. But they don't come down here. I don't go up there and they don't come down here.
Sloppy. Well, my family don't come and see me either. No. But what takes the sting out of it all is, video conferencing's come a long way, video chat, Zoom happened while I've been gone. Nobody knew what Zoom was when I was last sitting here. Now everyone knows it. Your family's in your pocket 24/7. I could be in a rice field the other side of the planet and then my mum will be like, oh, I've bought you some slippers when you get home. It's like, oh, all right. And it's just like,
how are
it
the
takes
slippers?
The magic out, doesn't it?
Oh, well, it takes the magic, so you don't really miss them. They're too available.
The world feels a lot smaller.
Right,
until you get on a fucking 15-hour flight over Greenland, admittedly. But, like, it takes a lot of it out. So, like, for those people like ever worrying about living abroad, like, you don't get... I don't think homesickness... It must have definitely must gone down a bit over the years.
Yeah, you know? I think that's fair to say. But then also... Yeah, I mean, you get... You're right. I always find that I conduct my relationship with my parents and my family over WhatsApp. So it's just through the medium of meme, really. That's the only thing that me and my mum and dad and my sister sort of get up to. We just send each other memes or pictures of my sister's kids.
I bought a birthday card today with Yoda on. It said Yoda one I want or something. I'm like, oh, that's funny. I'll buy that.
See, you don't get that kind of.
I feel like someone's dad buying shit meme cards.
Have you sort of come because you've not been home for 2.5 years?
Yeah, and I haven't seen you since February 2020.
Was it 2020? Yeah, 2020. Yeah.
You're the last friend I saw.
Exactly. Yeah. And now you're back here. it does feel really weird that you're actually in 3D. Because you're usually just a guy on my screen.
How do I look? What are the noticeable differences in my appearance?
You were going
on
about how fat you are, so it's just like, I don't recall any difference.
He didn't make any comments, good or bad, when we met.
I had no interest in your body before this.
I thought I was gonna
transformation. I don't think you look big. At
I
all,
thought I was so. Gonna come out the front door and he's go, oh, you look different. But no, I look pretty much the same.
Yeah, of course you do.
And but you know, that's one of the first things you notice when you arrive at the UK. People are bigger.
Right.
In general.
Okay. Yeah.
Width-wise. Uh-huh. Given Japan. I've made some observations here about differences. Reverse culture shock, right?
Yeah.
Number one, oh my God, masks. No masks.
Yep. We've no more masks. We were like, it was literally about 2 weeks before you arrived. Everyone was just
really?
Oh, fuck it. Well, even the people who were fucking it, who not fucking it, now they're fucking it.
It feels like, it honestly felt like being naked. It felt like, oh my God, I need to put it on my face. Well, I mean, indoors, right? In Japan, people still wear them outdoors. I was in like a ethereal forest a few weeks ago, middle of fucking nowhere, people still wearing masks, very sad, very silly. Indoors, I kind of get it. But the idea of being in a building without a mask, really trippy.
Yeah.
I got off the ANA flight into Belgium, Brussels Airport, all the masks gone, and I was like, is this okay? Is this all right? And like, it was really confusing and scary, and I was like, oh, do I put it on, do I not? And I didn't, and that feeling hasn't gone. Getting on the train today to come here, walk around London, it's like, oh shit.
But imagine if you hadn't had COVID, you know what I mean? Imagine if you hadn't ever contracted it, you'd be like, oh my god.
Indeed.
Oh my god, the beautiful strains of Omicron B2, whatever the hell we've got. Monkeypox.
Monkeypox.
We were both saying before it came on, we've both got a spot on, Chris, my spot isn't on Chris's face, but Chris has got a spot on his face and I've got a spot on my shoulder. Monkeypox. I think we might have monkeypox.
And we all know how much you love gibbons.
I know. So. I know. Well, I think you can get them from any primate. So, but I don't know why it's called monkeypox because they're not, you know, gibbons. Gibbons aren't.
Monkeys love it, don't they? But I mean, I bet that'll kick off, and then Japan will be like, "We're closing again.
Closing.
You're not allowed in now."
Because of monkeypox.
Yeah, I have to go back in a cello box like Carlos.
Lordy. Yeah.
But what else do I notice? People are more round. I've written that down.
People are more round, including me.
Branding. I found branding's better.
What do you mean branding's
British
better?
Products are just so colourful and exciting and well-branded.
Right.
Japanese, it's a bit more muted, the colours and the branding quality. And maybe that's just me.
Did you watch that Sky Glass advert? Sky Glass is very colourful and WWE, very colourful. I'm trying to think of very colourful. In Vogue, it's got very big primary poster colour kind of shit going on, and I find, you're right, it is a bit more exciting.
Maybe it's just a cultural thing. I don't know. I just find branding here is really good.
Well, it speaks to you as a Westerner.
It speaks to me.
You haven't been away for that long, so our stinking advertising still speaks to you, sunshine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
I also discovered the smell of grass is nice. We don't have that. This grass isn't in Japan, is it?
You don't have grass in Japan. What?
Like one park, is it? In terms of Yoyogi Park is a little bit. But like,
oh, what? You don't have as in, like, you don't have like our...
The countryside, there's no grass in Japan, right? Look at a photo of Japan. People don't think about this.
Oh, it's like thick... That thick grass.
There's nothing.
That pampas grass.
There's nothing. It's just
there's
rice.
No grass.
Seriously, like Japan
there
doesn't have grass.
There is grass in Japan.
Look at a photo. Go and stop what you're doing. Go and look at a photo. I swear to God, there isn't, right? You come to the UK, every field grass, right. Every fucking pavement grass.
Yeah.
No grass. And that is like such a big part of the smell in the air.
Right. Okay.
And so the UK smells really different to Japan.
And you're in London, like at the moment.
Well, there's grass so,
like,
here, though. There's grass everywhere. That's the one that you know is the smell. The general sort of smell of the air is different.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
grass and sausage rolls. Japan's like, I don't know, some rice.
Well, you can't smell anything. Get your mask on.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Your own horrible breath. Gin and tonic everywhere.
Gin
isn't overly like big in Japan.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas every pub here, it's like, here's the menu and here's the gin menu.
There's so many gins in London. And it is exclusively... It's too many. Yeah, you can even have like... I've found the non-alcoholic gins delicious. They're lovely.
Yeah.
They're like kind of like a floral... It's like a really floral, overly floral drink. And it's not gin, but it tastes nice. I like it.
Non-alcoholic.
I like it.
You disgust me, along with the people that drink decaffeinated coffee and tea. Things don't work. We've covered that one already. The vending machine didn't work.
Yeah.
The place I'm staying, the shower didn't work. Various cool. things just don't work.
Okay, yeah, good.
But that's acceptable. That comes with the territory. I've written here, the train was like a party.
What do you mean?
I got on the train and it's like some people like drunk having fun. Everyone's like having an argument and music playing out someone's phone.
Oh, did you arrive quite late then?
Well, this was like the other day on the train, like two days ago.
Right, okay.
Just trains are so much louder and more vibrant and annoying, but also endearing compared to like get on the train, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, the train on the Japanese train.
Like,
but then you rarely see people doing mad karate moves they've made up themselves on the night train out to the sticks out of Tokyo.
True.
Yeah.
But like,
it's a bit more threatening.
When I'm on the train, like you've got to be quiet on Japanese trains. Mm. Like whenever I'm on a train with Connor, like we've been on a train like 4 or 5 times, and 60% of the time, aka 3 times, someone's come over and said, "Oh, see my son, can you shut the fuck up?" And Connor gets really angry. It's because his voice is like,
you can't turn that down.
But like, you know, you just can't really speak on the train. And I think it's too extreme. It's kind of a little bit like, I want to speak to my friends, but I can't.
So the
British way is not as bad as I thought.
No, you can have a bit of a conversation. But there are quiet vestibules. There are quiet carriages that you can go into if you're not... Yeah, they're like the quiet carriage.
Really?
So you don't know... Have you never heard of the quiet carriage?
What is this?
On every train you've ever been
where
on.
Where do I find... What train carriage is it? 1, 2,
any
7?
Train, well, it depends. It's usually at the back of the train, I find.
Will it be weird if I'm like, sorry, where's the quiet carriage?
No, not at all. They'll say it's down there. Yeah, most trains have a
quiet carriage.
It's
down there. Down there on the railway
down
lines,
there on
mate.
On the tracks.
Lay your head down on the tracks.
You lay down on the tracks.
I also found service quality wildly inconsistent. It's both better and worse. Japan.
It's less intense, less kind of like, is everything okay? It's more just like, is everything okay? But if you say anything, I don't give a shit.
It's kind of like, you know, Japan, you get a bog standard good service every time.
Yeah.
Here, I had a breakfast the other morning. The guy was really nice and fun. It was like my friend serving me my bacon. It was brilliant. And that was, you know, I like that. I like that sort of, it's really nice.
You like friendly
out.
Bacon?
I like friendly, a man draped in bacon coming out. And that's nice.
Yeah.
What I don't like is this morning, I had another fried breakfast and the girl was like, can I have some tea? She was like, oh, not another one. She, you know,
not
it was
another
like,
tea. You
so
big tea belly.
You get like great service, but also crap service.
Yes.
Japan's more consistent, but there's no highs or lows.
Okay.
The last one, I bought shoes that actually fit. Look at
that.
My Nike shoes.
Look at those.
Look at that.
They're box fresh, Chris.
If I went to Japan and got some shit, it would take like a negotiation. We'd have to get them shipped from like Prussia.
Right, okay.
Germany. It would take forever to come.
They look good. How much will it set you back?
They were at least £70.
Oh, someone's YouTubing. He ain't making that a podcast, I'll tell you now.
But it's just amazing to go in a shoe shop and I was like, can I have size 10 and a half shoes? And they're like, yeah.
And they went, it's small feet. Get out, small feet, dirty feet.
Well, in Japan, it's like...
Get your claws out of here, sir.
How can your feet be this big? it doesn't happen. You've got to wait like a month. So that's very exciting. And the last thing I put here is my lunch today was Kinder Bueno and crisps. You can't do that in Japan.
Just jamming the shards of crisp into the top of a Kinder Bueno. Kinder Buenos are, you know, when they have those kind of like depressing fucking Twitter kind of squabbles or Instagram squabbles where they'll have like a pyramid of crisps or a pyramid of what the greatest candy is and stuff.
Right,
you don't
get
served this algorithmically because you're out east, but we do. And it's kind of like people who sort of say, oh, these crisps are the best. These crisps are the worst, and everyone just squabbles. It's just a really cheap way to get a bit of heat. Good cheap way for people to sort of get angry about the choices that you've made. But Kinder Bueno should be up there because it is it stands alone. It's very different to every other chocolate. It's a great bit of work. I'm just saying you chose well as your first candy.
It was a weird choice. To be fair, I don't think there was much else when I arrived at Brussels Airport. It's just that nice crunchy outer layer with the creamy, nutty flavour of
damn
the cream.
Right.
That was good. Good choice. And that was my lunch today.
Cracking.
As well. Walker's Crisp and Kinder Bueno. You know, it's not going to be like every day, God forbid. I want to return to Japan, not in a body bag.
I don't think there's many calories in either. If you sort of mash those two together, I don't think there's many calories.
Well, I did get a grab bag, as it's known.
Oh, yeah.
The crisps that are like fucking this big. You know,
slightly larger.
American portion size. But all in all, a successful return to the UK. And also got a Fitbit. Because I'm putting health at the forefront of everything I do.
So is that, I thought that was an Apple Watch. Or is that just a Fitbit that just does the Fit stuff?
They stole the design. It's very similar to an Apple Watch. But I want to monitor my life and health a bit better. Apparently, I had 20 minutes of deep sleep last night. It tracks your sleep.
Just 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
Just 20 minutes?
20 minutes. Well, you don't have much deep sleep, right? Here's a breakdown of my 8 hours, 11 minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
Well, how's it work? I don't know how it works. it's kind of cool to track your sleep. Here we go. So I had REM sleep. for 1 hour, 2 minutes.
All right.
I had light sleep for 6 hours, 2 minutes, and I had deep sleep for 1 hour, 7 minutes.
That's amazing.
I think it's good. Yeah, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, there's in the coming weeks, we've got, I think later on in the next show, I'll be talking about a hotel that can also track your sleep. So that's a throw forward.
What's
to
that?
A new story I've got in my file of facts of news stories.
Oh, God.
A capsule hotel that tells you how many times you snore.
Really?
A night. How many times you roll over, how many times you do a little burp.
They've just put a Fitbit in there. Revolutionary technology.
Yeah, I know,
right? Bought some Fitbits.
Terrible.
But there's, the last thing I did before I left Japan was tweet about the changes, right?
Yeah.
How Japan is, I think, in June, just in 2 weeks, they're going to start letting tourists in for the first time.
Yes, they are.
And
yeah.
It was like, what was it? It was ridiculous.
Chris, I said that it was, and I will go on record to say that I fully expect this absolute shenanigans that is taking place. I mean, I knew it was going to be stupid. I knew it was going to be born. I knew it was going to be seated in a healthy dollop of racism. And it's ticked every box and more for me, what they've decided to do.
It feels, you know, Japanese. It just feels very stupid. the Japanese government's very popular at the moment. Their popularity rating's like 69% or something.
Okay, yeah.
Which is
nice.
Very funny and impressive for a Japanese government, right? And maybe it's because they're being so slow.
Right.
Because most people in Japan are 68 years old.
Yes.
And
they don't need it. They don't need it.
They don't want Pete Dawson.
They don't need the wall of problems.
They don't want you there.
No.
But an article came out in the Japan Times. The title was "Japan to Begin Trial to Accept Foreign Tourists in a Trial by Combat." And there was a line in it that said, "Tourists who've been triple vaccinated and come from the US, Australia, Thailand, and Singapore will be allowed to join the tours, which will be strictly planned and accompanied at all times by tour conductors." And I said with that, you know, this sounds genuinely sounds like a trip to North Korea. Because if you took out the word Japan there, remove the context, you'd be like, oh, a strictly planned tour accompanied at all times by a minder, effectively.
Yeah.
You can't deviate from
Iran. If you've ever tried to travel to Iran, if you ever try to travel to North Korea, you have to have someone with you every spot. And it has to be sort of planned out and you've got to pay money to the tour operator and stuff. So I think the comparison is valid.
Exactly. But some people weren't happy. They were like, Japan isn't equitable to North Korea. And I was like, read the sentence again. I said,
it sounds like a trip
to North Korea.
And it is in this case. This is what they get up to.
It's sad, isn't it? And I also said it's a sad day when the official Abroad Japan tour sounds better. Someone asked me once, Chris, you should do a tour.
Yeah.
And it was on a live show. I was quite drunk and depressed. And I was like, here's the tour.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we get to Kyoto at 5 a.m. McDonald's.
I rent a van.
Get in the van.
I rent a transit van. Get in the van.
It was like, we'll get the Samurai Mac for breakfast at McDonald's. We'll get a Burger King for lunch. And like, it's just like, come on, just open the country. It's a start.
Is it? Because it'll only take one monkeypox victim to be on that tour. People go, well, this isn't. But I'm struggling to see what they're going to get out of that. Like, are they going to sort of go, are they just tracking the amount of disease that comes in? Are they sort of, but that you're not going to get an adequate or accurate version of what an open country would look like, surely, if you're having a tour. So you're limiting everyone's movement anyway. It's very confusing.
There's almost no conceivable value to this idea. The only reason they're doing it, let's face it, is for PR purposes.
Yeah.
Because this will be broadcast on Japanese TV far and wide.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a pretty big move for the Japanese government to just be like, okay, open the gates, begin tourism. Yeah. And this sort of helps that process and helps with that stopgap.
I'd be like, if I was on the tour, let me go over there. You let your little fucking toddlers run around. go run errands for you.
Oh yeah!
You let them walk down the street to pick up some fucking katsu.
What's that show called again?
I can't remember now, but it's...
You watched it all last week.
I know. Netflix. I very much enjoyed
it. But like it is odd. It is odd, and I don't know. But like, imagine if you came on the tour, right? I'd love to come. I'd love to like troll you. Like you come on the tour, Pete Donaldson, on the Great Tour of Japan, the special like state sanctioned tour. You come to Kyoto. And I'm just standing at the side of the road, like, waving. And you're like, oh, can I see my friend? And the staff are like, no, you must stay on the state
sanctioned
tour.
No one.
I'll be like, hey, you can't go where you want. You're on the special tour,
twat. Can you imagine how shit the tour will be as well? Like, oh, my days.
Japan doesn't do tours very well.
Right.
I've worked with a lot of tour companies over the years. Mm. They're very bad.
very bad.
Like, I remember I did this like video once where I had to like, it was a video where I had to sort of promote Fukushima.
Mm.
And I had to talk about, they were like, they came up with a tour and it was rubbish. It was like, there's a town in Fukushima where they have ice cream and a funny cone. And I was like, can we see some culture? I was like, no. Show the
funny cone.
And they wanted me to film the ice cream. And this is a video I made, I think, where I talked about Sokushinbutsu, the mummies, which
right.
you've seen, right?
Yes,
they've got these mummies. It's amazing. And I did a video about
down
that.
Little hole.
And it was and they wanted me to like put this local ice cream in the video. Yeah. I was like, no, this is shit.
Give it a bit of context. Put the ice cream cone in the hand of one of the mummies. And then we've got a film. We've got a shot then, haven't we? We've got a shot.
But it's just like, I was like, come on, guys. This is an interesting video on something unique and profound.
Mm.
Don't have the mummy, the guy that killed himself in a very methodical method, many methodical process, preface with, oh, this ice cream's good.
Yeah.
Now let's go and see some dead people.
He died from starvation. Maybe if he'd eaten one of these corns, he'd still be alive.
If he'd had the ice cream.
He'd had the
a
ice
very
cream,
different story, wouldn't
alive,
it? Just,
so,
they open the hole and he's still there with his ice cream.
Lordy,
but like, there's tours in Japan are very like, they don't think about what the people on the tour, the foreigners, actually want.
Yeah.
And like, a lot
they're
of
just like, what have we got this month?
Well, they're like,
what nonsense have we got this month in the town?
They're very dodgy. So, like, Japan tour's awful.
Yeah.
Don't do it. if you're one of these people coming on this tour,
yeah.
Don't do it.
But if you are and you get on there, we
make
would like to talk to you. Yeah, make a video and we would like to talk to you on the podcast. I would very much like to know. Are you going to, like, you know, that lad who came home in a terrible old state? I think he died in the end in North Korea where he tried to steal a poster or something. Like, how much leeway can you get? Like, what is it going to be like that?
I don't think
please,
it's going
to
be like
that. Return to your hotel room. No, I'm free. Ha 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 ha.
Hopefully it won't be like that. But like, yeah, it's not a good idea, but we'll see what happens with it. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, I do still think they're going to open like, you know, September, October.
Mm.
They have to. They've got a big tourist event, like a global tourism event, right, in Japan. And it'll be like one of three countries in the world you can't actually go in as a tourist. It won't really work, will it? But it certainly paid off the Japanese government. Popularity,
yes,
unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, but you know, it was always going to be this way.
Mm.
And people, again, people are sort of, I know people are making the right noise, but people are still betting. They're still sort of saying, oh, well, it better be sorted by the time it gets to September, right? It's not going to be sorted by the time it gets to September. What is wrong with you? Don't worry about it. 2023, guys. 2023.
Feels a bit unfair that I can just go there.
I know, it does, yes. Very much
eat,
so.
Like,
Come back and just eat a our Kinder Buenos. That's for us, mate. That's for us, eh?
It's us and their mentality forming between
you
those.
You want to make it all about you, you fucking have all this motherfucking. But as
so
I've said
aggressive.
More than one occasion on this podcast, Japan is charming because it is very unique. It's only going to get more unique and more weird. Shutting itself down. You know how mad your auntie went in lockdown. You know, she didn't see many people. Now she thinks the Earth's flat. Imagine how mad the Japanese are going to be when it comes to creating insane experiences for you when it opens up.
So well, I'm really worried that there's going to be like a backlash. I think at the moment in Japan, they're trying to get rid of masks outdoors, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, 99% of people outside wear a mask.
Right, yes.
In cities, in towns, in a forest, as I said earlier, you know, that was really not good.
So the government are trying to get rid of
so
the
masks. Government's like, ooh,
don't worry about
you
it.
You don't have to wear masks outside that much. And
there
was a report today that said, I think 60% of Japan's population don't want to wear masks outdoors.
Right, yeah.
Which I think is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm done with masks. I've no doubt they played their role very well early on during the vaccination process. But now there needs to be a point they come off. And it's been so nice walking around and breathing in air and enjoying air. And
are you
going
sure you've
outside.
Been in London? Because this
maybe
doesn't
not
sound,
in London.
Yeah,
maybe
sound
maybe
like
not
London
the subway. Maybe
yeah,
not on the underground train.
Right.
But yeah, it's nice. It's nice. I don't. And I had to wear the mask for 15 hours on the plane. That was pretty tough.
Well, I found that because I've got such a small face, I could lift the mask over my eyes, and it could double as a sleep mask. But it would also also encapsulate my nose and mouth. So there you go.
Life hacks of Pete Donaldson.
Yeah,
turn the mask
your
to
eye.
Your advantage.
Exactly, yeah.
But like,
turn the tables on big mask.
I think the government's gently sort of saying, you don't have to wear them anymore, don't bother.
Okay.
And people don't really want to, but they do because Japan's a consensus-based society and people do what everyone else is doing around them. And so there'll be a day where it'll flip and all of a sudden everyone will be wearing them. The day you know, there's a critical mass of people that don't wear them, that'll be it. It'll be done, right? I hope that day has arrived when I return, because it's going to be hard going from this to that. And
I was just sort of working bars and stuff, because obviously I've seen you on like your wacky weekends with Connor and stuff.
Ridiculous.
Like, there's just a lot of
it's just
there's going to be a lot of mass, but there's a lot of like screens in between you and the and the bartender.
It is all a lot of bollocks, because you go in a restaurant, it's like, please wear your mask. You're like, right, yeah. You sit down, you get your drink, and they're like, you can take your mask off now. Yeah. Like, oh. And like, it's just, it kind of feels a bit redundant.
And, well, especially a lot of the bars that you go into are very quiet, and it's usually just you and the barman, or you and your friend and the barman, and they've got those plastic sheets up, and they're just, like, it's going to get right. If you're staying in that that space, the globules, you're going to get that sweet, sweet monkeypox, baby.
It's like you're advocating spreading it. But like, I do think it's worrying. That's what worries me, though. If Japan keeps this mask mentality outdoors and all this influx of tourists come along, it's going to create this sort of awkward situation where people are going to sort of think, oh, these tourists not coming here, not wearing masks. Yeah. It's going to cause a lot of problems. And that's the one thing where I think there could be some potential problems and backlash, which is another reason they're probably holding out a little bit. But yeah, it's been nice though. Honestly, I'm so sick of masks. I'm not an anti-masker. I love masks. I think they're magical and brilliant. Mm. But I don't want to wear one ever again.
Well, you don't have to until you go back. So, how long have we got? How long
until
have we
I
got
get
you
on
for?
The plane again?
How long have we got, Fleshy Chris?
Fleshy
Chris,
which
is probably not a nickname you appreciate. But I'm saying in the flesh, Chris.
I'm on the podcast. I'm here a good few weeks.
So much easier than the internet.
I mean, it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad.
If you listen to the Abroad in Japan podcast, which you should every Sunday and Thursday or Wednesday, I don't know when it comes out.
You really don't, do you? It's every Wednesday night, GMT.
There you go.
And every Sunday night, GMT. Well,
it's amazing. You wouldn't even know we're the other side of the world. I think we've done a good job with it.
Yeah, because I tied you up. That's why. Oh. I make it sound great.
Oops.
Sometimes I upload it, sometimes I don't.
But it is a lot easier in person.
Yes.
It's a lot more fun in person. And it's a lot hotter in person, because Pete doesn't ventilate the fucking room.
No, don't need a
recording
mask.
In.
No, don't
this
need
is
a mask.
Hotter than Japan. This is like Bahrain or something here. What's going on?
The problem is we've got an Inventor cool aircon system, but it's very loud.
Right.
If I turn it on, it'll go all the way through it. Which isn't great.
Isn't ideal
when you're in a podcast.
You don't get this
studio,
in the Abroad Japan studio. You get aircon going. But
you know, there are two people who complain about the heat in here. There are two people who complain about our air conditioning situation, right? It's you and Jack Mate's Happy Hour, right? What's the common thread there? YouTubers. Fucking YouTubers. Oh, my porridge is too hot. My porridge is too cold. Pathetic. Grow up, a lot of yous.
It's not a fucking
You're not
three
down
bears.
The fucking mines. This is the podcast mine, mate, and we're pulling out gold.
It's bad for
24/7 every Wednesday, every Sunday. Pete and Chris, podcast gold.
I've got to put my appearance at the forefront of everything.
That's
I do.
A good point.
That's why
that's
I look this,
point,
yeah. this.
That's why you're
exotic.
Kinder Buenos and Chris.
Yeah, really sharp. That's why I've got to look good, haven't I, for the video? That's why I've got to be careful about the temperature. My
you got
pores,
to look pretty though in my video. Lovely.
But I'm here for something like 4 or 5 weeks.
Good.
It's not long enough. I would like longer. But I'm sure I'll get a lot done and we'll have some fun along the way.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll film a video. I might be filming a video with Connor, who's here. I might be filming another video with Joey, who's also here.
Are they're all over for stuff and they're doing MGM. Is it MCM Comic Con? Are they doing something on a Comic Con? Right, okay.
Where's my invite?
Where's your invite?
Get invite.
Oh, what? Did you want to be invited? Chris, you've never...
I don't want to go. I don't want to go anyway. I've got the podcast show.
Yeah, I got the podcast show. The real Comic Con.
Yeah.
Well,
to be fair,
Comic-Con.
The podcast show's got Louis Theroux. What's Comic-Con got?
Yeah.
Connor, Sea Dog voice actor.
I do not know.
Can see him on Abroad in Japan. Well, like, no, I don't do convention stuff. It's not, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it's not really.
You don't like people.
Do.
You don't like people, Lynn.
Yeah,
I just don't like people, Lynn.
I'm done with people. it's not really my scene. I don't know much about comics or cons or anime or fun.
Yeah.
I'm the wrong guy to be there. But if I got invited, I would have gone.
You would have gone.
Just saying it. If I'd go invited.
Just turn up. Get yourself a little... Do Virgil from the WWE. Just set yourself up a little wallpaper table with some signed pictures.
How would I... It would have been really sad, though. How would I have got in? I'd have to, like, pay for a ticket.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, there's Connor and Joey and Grant over there on the gilded stage.
Can I go and get a signature?
Can I meet
them? Can I have a selfie with
them? No. You can't come in. Like, I'd be like, oh, this is shit.
Ah, nuts.
I can look, but I can't touch.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do at Comic-Con.
Could pretend you were Elon Musk. could do that, I guess.
I'm here to short Twitter. But, like, yeah, no, so it's going to be good. I'm going to have fun and... I'm going to make those videos with Connor.
Lovely.
And Joey. If they go ahead, which they hopefully will next week, I'll tell you what they are.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty good, actually.
Fun.
They're pretty fun.
Okie dokie.
We haven't got a video planned yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
I mean, Pete can't even make a fucking espresso, let alone organise a video being
maybe
shot.
Maybe we could do a trial day at Costa's. Maybe we could both get a little,
no,
little job in Costa's.
We need to get a video teaching you how to make a bloody coffee.
Britain's the top five things not to do in a coffee shop if you're Chris Broad and you are doing a trial day for Costa's.
Get Pete to be a barista. Awful. But yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Send in your comments, stories and questions to thebraunjabandpodcast@gmail.com.
Boom.
We'll be back to do it again in person for the next kind of 10 episodes, maybe more. I'll be here with Pete in a room sweating profusely. Until then, for now, guys, have a great week. We'll see you right back here, do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Farewell.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.